Praise God for all his blessings, for his goodness. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for being with us, Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask you to guide me by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, our ears, the ears of our hearts right now to receive your truth. Lord, anoint us to hear, to receive, and to bear fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking about bearing fruit. What does it mean to believe? A lot of people believe that if I just give an intellectual assent to something that is true, that makes me a believer. But a believer is more than just agreeing with something that is true. A true believer is a follower of Jesus. Amen? They follow in his footsteps. They watch his example and they do likewise. Amen? Believing is faith, and faith is not passive. Faith is not just acknowledging something to be true, but faith means that I believe it to the degree that I will act upon what I say I believe. Faith requires action. Faith requires movement. God always chose someone to work through in the earth realm, a man or a woman. He chose people to work through. And it required a cooperative effort on their part to say, God, I'm willing to obey you. I'm willing to listen to your voice. I'm willing to do what you tell me to do. See, Noah was a man of faith, remember? He moved with godly fear to the building of the ark, to the saving of his family. His faith was validated by the fact that he obeyed the voice of God and moved with godly fear, prepared that ark. You see, it wasn't enough for him to say, well, yeah, God, I believe you that one of these days it's going to rain. You see, there's a lot of people today that are saying the same thing. They believe that, yeah, it looks pretty scary in our world today. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, a lot of crazy men with their fingers on the button and all. You know, who knows what's happening right now, you know? It's like we can't even keep up with all the stuff that's happening. There's so many stories coming out, you know? Half of you can't even believe anyways, but, you know, stories that you hear about. But, you know, there's a lot of people that will acknowledge that something is different. Something is going on. Even unbelievers are starting to say something is really whacked, man. Our world is really getting wacky, man. You know, that doesn't save you. Just the acknowledgement of that fact that we're living in the end times doesn't save you. You have to get on board the ark to be saved. And there's only a certain window of opportunity for you to get on board the ark. And once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, there will be those who will begin to stand outside and knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And it will be too late. It was the same in the days of Noah. There was an opportunity given for 120 years as Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and yet people continued to rebel and refused to listen to the voice of the Lord through his prophet. And the same thing is happening today, folks. There's going to be few that are saved. Jesus said there will be few saved. And I want to be one of those few. How about you? So I'm with Jesus. I'm Lord. I'm with you. Amen. I'm with you, Lord. Wherever you're going, that's where I want to go. What you're telling me to do, that's what I want to do. What you're praying, that's what I'm going to pray. Amen. You ever have somebody in life that you really admired and growing up you looked to and just like maybe a big brother or sister or somebody you just really admired and said, man, I want to be like them. When I grow up, I want to be like them, you know. When I grow up, I want to be like Jesus. I'm growing up. How about you? You growing up? We're becoming mature. We're becoming like Jesus. Does our life resemble Jesus? Does our daily life, our daily walk, resemble Jesus? Do we walk like Jesus walked? He is our standard. He is the one we want to be like. You see, we got all kinds of patterns and things in the church and things that are being presented as somehow this is what God wants us to do. And we even do a lot of stuff like there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to do it that way. Not that it's anything wrong. It's just that, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you need to, you know, have three songs and an offering and a sermon and go home. Amen. The Bible does say that they got together, they had fellowship, they break in bread and prayers. Amen. They gathered together, they prayed for each other, they ministered to each other. Amen. They taught the word of God. They were to continue in the doctrine. Amen. And they had favor with the people and they praised God. And all these things that we're doing are biblical, but the patterns I'm talking about, we get into ruts and routines and patterns, and because it's comfortable there. I want to be comfortable. I just want to come into church and sit down and soak and just be comfortable. And, you know, if we're not careful, we will become stagnant, lifeless, dead on the vine. Why? Because we're not listening to Him anymore. We're just going through the motions. We're just doing this thing. How many know that you can come to church and completely miss Jesus? There are people that come and go all the time out of these doors, and you know they've completely missed it. They never really connected. They didn't open their hearts. They didn't go after God. They didn't have enough passion in them because there's no life. When there's a quickening in your spirit, when the Holy Spirit quickens you, you will want more of Him. If you are healthy spiritually, you will want to eat. If you're sick spiritually, you won't be hungry. If you're physically sick, you lose your appetite. Spiritually, it's the same thing. So we need to ask the question, am I healthy and growing? And am I producing good fruit? Because the Father is seeking such. He's seeking those who will worship Him in spirit. He's looking for good fruit. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. He removes it. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. John 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Folks, I want us to think about something. Too much of the church in America is just doing something. It's the finest in entertainment. They got great music, they got great lights, they got great pews. Come on. They got great programs. You know, they have a really awesome coffee shop, you know. There's nothing wrong with coffee. I like coffee. But often there's this competition that goes on between churches about who's got the nicest environment, atmosphere, most comfortable pews, best band. Thank you. I like you. But you know, but too often though, people are coming because, well, I just don't have anything better to do. And if you can sit in church and be comfortable and never be challenged, you really need to question if you're in the right place. Because the Lord challenges us. He challenges us to get out of the boat and come on the water with Him. Because if you continue to sit in the boat when He's not in the boat, you will die in the boat. You see, there's a time that we need to sit down in the boat with Jesus. We need to sit at His feet. And there's a time we need to get up and we need to move, because Jesus is on the move and we got to be with Him wherever He's at. Wherever I am, there my servant will be also, Jesus said. Where is life? Life is where Jesus is. Are you with Jesus? Are you walking with Jesus? Are you listening to His voice? If God tells you, call so-and-so, pray for so-and-so, talk to this person, go do this, amen? Go do that. Are we listening to His voice? Because faith is more than just acknowledging that something is true. It means I believe it to the degree that I'm actually going to act upon what I say I believe. And once I step out in faith and act upon what He tells me to do, the life of God is released through me. And you will personally be revived. You won't be dead spiritually. You'll be vibrantly alive. And the enemy is good at trying to get us into places of comfort. He wants you to hunker down in the bunker. Hunker in the bunker. He wants to get you in the foxhole. Amen. And just put your head down. Where you have superior weaponry. You have the commander-in-chief that has already given you the authorization to go and defeat your enemy. Instead, the enemy's got we cowering down in the foxhole, holding the fort, and God says, get up and go and dispossess your enemies. Amen. Destroy the works of the devil. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I have given you the authorization to go in my name, and whoever stands in your way, I've got your back. You speak to that giant and you tell him, move. And that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we should have a desperation for the presence of God, because God is calling us out of the boat and we cannot make it without His presence. We cannot do what we're called to do unless we are endued with His power. And it's not a one-time thing that you did 20 years ago. Walking in the power of God is a daily thing. We need to come back and drink, come back and drink, come back and drink. Just like they had it every morning, they had to pick up manna. They needed their daily bread. We need to be abiding in Him daily. Feasting on His word, amen. Worshiping in spirit. Hallelujah. I want to share this again today because I think I shared this last week or the week before. But for those of you who weren't here, I want you to hear this. It's from Luke chapter 13, verse 6. Jesus spoke a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree. And find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down. Let's look at this again. Verse 6, a certain man, everybody say, father, had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, everybody say, Jesus. Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But listen to what he said. The keeper said, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down. Do you understand that God has planted His people? And this refers to Israel as His chosen people. But in Christ, in Messiah, there's no longer Jew nor Gentile. We're one in Christ. Amen? And if we are planted by the Lord, then the Lord is a master at gardening. He's a master dresser. Amen? He knows exactly what we have need of to bear fruit. And so He makes sure that we have everything available to us so that we will bear fruit in abundance. He makes sure that everything that we have need of is available freely to us through Christ Jesus, and that we just simply need to come to Him, amen, confidently, boldly to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How many know we're in a time of need right now? We are in a time of need, folks. And so Jesus here is pleading with the Father. This is what He's saying. Lord, give it a chance. I know it's been fruitless. It's just been sitting like a bump on a log. It's done really nothing. It's borne no good fruit. And I realize that it's just like receiving the grace of God in vain. Come on. Paul said, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Amen. If you're going to receive the grace of God, it's for a purpose. Amen. The grace of God is not just so we can feel good and have goosebumps. The grace of God is so we can be effective witnesses. So we can do the work of the ministry, all of us together, working together for Jesus, for His glory, for His kingdom, advancing the kingdom, working together as a body, strengthening one another, encouraging one another, bearing fruit unto everlasting life. And so He says, Father, give it a year. Let me dig around it. Let me dig down to the very roots of their life. That means there's going to be a shaking sometimes in our lives. Amen. God has to get down to the root of things, because sometimes we're walking around in a superficial la-la land and we don't realize that we are a mess on the inside. And because of that mess, and because there's unresolved things, and we're unrepentant about certain things, that there's no fruit in our lives. So He says, I have to dig down. I have to get to the root of things, and then I'm going to put some fertilizer on that. Amen. We need the Spirit of God. And then let's watch and see what happens. If it bears fruit, great. But if it does not, cut it down. Do you understand what He's saying, folks? There is a time and an opportunity for us to bear fruit. We have one life here. You have one life, one chance, one shot at it. What are we going to do with the rest of our lives? It doesn't matter how old you are. It's not too late to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Because the enemy is good at just lulling us to sleep. Just get into comfort zone. Get into Comfortville. Just kind of cruise along and get into the feel good of everything. How many know sometimes you got to feel bad before you can feel good? I mean, God has to take the sucker branches off, and sometimes that hurts, but it's good for us. He wants to eliminate anything that's going to cause us to not bear fruit or to choke the life out of us. When we're born again, we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. This new creation is able to worship God in spirit and truth. The new creation is able to converse with God and hear His voice. The new creation is able to communicate God's love and truth to others. This new creation is capable of bearing good fruit unto eternal life. When we're born again, folks, we have everything available to us in Christ to bear fruit in abundance. It's not God's fault. It's the tree's fault. Because the tree refuses to drink of the life-giving sap, which is the Spirit of the Lord. If you are not praying, you will have no power. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. Too many people are laying down to sleep, literally, spiritually asleep. Amen. It's time to rise up and shine. It's to connect to God, to get a hunger and to get a desperation for His presence. Because what we're called to do requires the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be a hungry people. So much of the church, even this morning throughout America, I know they're just sitting there looking at their watch. Somebody say amen. Amen. Dying on the vine. It's not the vine's fault. Unfortunately, a lot of cases, people have been sold a bill of goods. They've been told they're okay when they're not. They've been told they're finished when they're not even getting started. God's word is awesome. I want truth, because it's only the only thing that's going to set us free. And it doesn't always feel good. Sometimes when you hear these messages, you're like, ouch. You know, but that's a good thing. That's a good ouch. It hurts so good. I want to talk about several kinds of fruit. We've been talking about bearing fruit. What do we mean by fruit? How about the first one is the fruit of the Christ-like nature. When we're born again, we receive a new nature. Amen. And it's a Christ-like nature. And that's a very obvious one in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But there's also the fruit, if you will, or the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What part of that don't we understand? See, people want to theologically explain what is clearly being taught in Scripture because it's just too much for them to accept. Because they don't want to pay the price to be a disciple of Jesus. They want to have their own life. And they want to do it their way. How many have discovered that your way really doesn't satisfy you? God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to teach us that our way will never satisfy us. It's death. Why would we abide in death when we can have access to life? If you're in Christ, then you are the planting of the Lord. You are planted in the right place, at the right time, in the right environment, so that you could bear fruit. God knows what He's doing. So if we do not bear fruit, it is not God's fault. It is our fault. I pray all the time, God, I want to bear fruit. I want to bear much fruit. But when I pray that, I also realize that God's going to have to take the shears out. Amen? God's going to have to deal with stuff in my life to get me in the position so I can bear more fruit. God's not through with me yet either. Thank God. Amen? How about this one, folks? Here's another kind of fruit that God is looking for. The fruit of winning souls for Jesus. How many are winning souls for Jesus? How many of us are about that? How many are praying for souls? How many are looking for opportunities, amen, to encourage somebody, to send the word, to reach out to somebody, to talk to somebody? How many know that God would have His church empowered by the Spirit so that we can witness Him before the world and bring the world to Him? Now listen to what Jesus said. John 15:16, He said it to His disciples, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." How do we know if we're really living for Christ? "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. If they kept My word, they will keep yours also." Now, the writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews 13:13. "Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach." Let us go forth unto Him to who? Christ. Outside the camp, bearing His reproach. Out of the city, into a camp. Do you know that when we're born again, we've been called out of this world? We are campers. Amen. And if we abide in Him, we will be happy campers. Happy campers. Amen. Now, in this passage, God is calling His people out of the comfortable, the predictable place of religious formality. See, the Jews were very much steeped in formalism. Just like a lot of people today, they have a form of worship, a form of godliness. They think that by lighting candles and wearing special robes and doing Hail Marys, and did I just say that? Yes, I just said that. And some of the things that the Bible never even talks about, they think if they do those things that somehow they're going to earn credit with God, but that is so far from the truth. You're not saved. You're not justified by your works. God's calling people out of religiosity to join themselves with the Lord and His mission. That's what God is saying. I want you to connect with Me. I want you to join yourself with Me. I want you to get acquainted with Me. I've given you access. I paid the price. My blood is on the altar. If you will confess your sins, you can come to Me anytime. Amen. And we can have fellowship, and I will reveal My heart, My mission for you in life. and we'll do this thing together. You won't be left alone. I'll make sure you have my spirit with you. Amen. And we'll do this thing. We'll do life together. Hallelujah. And if you're afraid, it means you need to get closer to me. You know what I'm talking about? I was one of those kids on the playground, you know. I'd get around the big dude and I'd say, "Oh, yeah!" A little toady out front, right? Yeah. Take care of my light work. You know what I'm talking about? You had him on the playground, right? The kid, he was a little squirt, but he got around a big kid. And he's like, "Hey, I got Bubba here with me, you know. He's going to take care of business. You mess with me." Well, you know, that's the way it is with Jesus. We're like the little toadies out there, you know. We don't have no power. We can't do it. God said, "Yeah, you're the one I want. You're the one. I'll scrape you off the sidewalk, and I'm going to fill you with my spirit, and you're exactly who I want. You who don't think you can, that's exactly who I need right there. Somebody who knows they can't do it in themselves." And he raises up the least likely to do the unlikely. He uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. You ever notice that? The body of Christ is usually really ragtag. But God just chooses us out of the world. That way he can put his power in us in the world to say, "Man, they've got to be with Jesus, because obviously they couldn't do that unless they've been with Jesus." That's why Jesus chose his disciples, amen? Peter and John and them, and he said, "Hey, come with me, I'll make you fishers of men." And they looked at them, they were ignorant, if you will, they were unlearned fishermen, they were just rough, tough guys and rough and tumble. And he says, "You're exactly who I need right now, come with me." Amen. And they took note of them because they knew they had been with Jesus. And when these guys moved out with Jesus on their side, amen, and backing them up, they had authority, and they spoke with authority, and the word of God was powerful and effective through them. Amen. And there was signs and wonders confirming the word through them. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. Not because they were anything, but they were with Jesus. See, God is telling us, get with me, get close to me. If you're fearful about what I'm calling you to do, it's because you're not close enough. You're too full of yourself yet. You're too full of you. If you're full of you, you will not have the boldness to do what I tell you to do. See, we need to take some time and get on our face before God, fast and pray maybe. Amen. And just say, "Oh God, take out of me any of this stuff, anything that would hinder, anything that would stand between us. Lord, deliver me from the spirit of fear. You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the spirit I have, and that's what I'm going to obey. That's what I'm going to believe about me." As soon as you step out for God, that spirit of fear wants to step up, you know. How do you overcome it? Not by hunkering down in the foxhole, hoping the enemy will just overlook you. How many know the devil is seeking whom he may devour? He's got a target on you and I. And we can't be hunkering down in some foxhole hoping that he'll just go away, because he's not going to go away. As long as he knows that you're afraid of him, he's going to continue to torment your life and keep you bound by the fear of man. How many would agree we need a little more Jesus? We need more power. Amen. If I'm too full of me, then I get into insecurities. I get into irritation. I get into, you know, all the other ugliness that we don't like about ourselves. We need to get closer to Jesus. That's all. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Folks, if we think that we don't need more of him, we are deceived. There's people that think, "I just had a little snack last Sunday morning, I'm good for the week." They're deceived. They have not understood what they're called to. In Hebrews 13:13, where it says, "Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach." What God is calling us to, folks, is to identify ourselves with Jesus and bear his reproach. I might remember that old song, "The Old Rugged Cross." "To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. For he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. Do you understand? No cross, no crown. God has called us to identify ourselves with Jesus, to come outside and then out of the world to join Him in His camp, the Jesus camp, the Happy Campers Club. Get with Jesus, connect to Him. He will give us the grace and the strength that we need to accomplish His mission together with Him. Every one of us in this room are called to service, to serve the Lord. Some people think, well, I went to church. Isn't that serving God? Well, if you came to serve others, yes. But it doesn't end there. Amen. We're only here to be equipped to do the work. Like I saw in one church, as you walk out, it says you are now entering the mission field. Amen. When we walk out this door. We ought to get it put up, right? We ought to put one up. Thank you, Lord. So, I already said this, but you know, we got to be careful that we don't get into a comfortable routine of gathering and just focusing on ourselves and yet not have any regard for the lost people around us. How many would agree with me that a growing church is a healthy church? Folks, I'm going to be honest with you, but we have a wonderful church family, and I love you all dearly. But I'm a little concerned. I am a little concerned about some patterns that we're starting in, some ruts that we're getting into of just kind of doing the thing. There was a time when there was such fire and such passion and desire to serve the Lord that we would do whatever Jesus said to do whenever He said to do it. And if we're not careful, folks, we can lose that. And it's called falling away from your, or leaving your first love. And I write, Nancy, we've got to get back to our first love. God's calling us all back to our first love, where our hearts are burning with love for Him. A love that is far greater than our love for self. Amen. Even love for family. We love Him more than our family. We wouldn't allow even our mate, our husband or our wife, to stop us from obeying God. Jesus and I already come to that agreement. Amen. We may have plans to do something together, but if God says, I want you to do this, guess who's going to win? We're going to listen to the Lord. Because every time we say yes to God, we're in life. We're quickened. We're strengthened. Hallelujah. You know, God called, was it Samuel, to rebuke Saul for disobeying the word of the Lord? And, of course, Samuel grieved over this. He fought with this. He didn't want to have to do it, but God said, I want you to tell Saul that he's going to lose his kingdom because he wouldn't obey me. So Samuel obeyed the Lord. But the Bible says that after he did that, God told him to fill his horn with oil. After he obeyed the Lord, God said, now fill your horn with oil. Do you want more? You want a greater anointing? You want more of Him in your life? Be faithful. Even when it's painful. Even when it means somebody's not going to like you because you obeyed the Lord. Do what He says and He will promote you. He will advance you and He will give you a greater anointing, a greater effectiveness. A growing church is a healthy church. A growing church is a fruit-bearing church. A fruit-bearing church is a soul-winning church. A witnessing church, a church that is fully expressing Jesus. We should be fully expressing Jesus, not only in just all the giftings that we have among ourselves, but also in our community, amen, in our families. I thank God for those who have the burden to go and reach out to their families and their loved ones and their neighbors, amen. But if we don't have that desire in us, folks, we need to ask the question, what is choking that desire out? Because that is the desire of Jesus. That is the will of God, that we go into all the world and preach the gospel, that we make disciples of all nations. That is the heart. That is the heart of Jesus. Maybe you're saying, yeah, I get that. And you know what? There's a desire in me to do that. That's great. Do you have a desire to do that? That's good. That's a good sign. But, But, who am I? Oh, I'm not eloquent of speech, Moses said. Why did you choose somebody else? How about Aaron over there? You see, God chooses. And when God calls, He what? Qualifies the called. He's not choosing us because we're anything. He just says, hey, you're warm, you have a pulse, you're available. You, come on, let's come with me and watch what we'll do together. And how exciting it is to be on this journey with Jesus and to watch God work through your life and say, man, I don't belong here. I don't deserve you, Jesus. But He loves us anyways. Isn't that an awesome thing? Jesus said in John 4:35, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes a harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps wages, receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Do you understand? We are called to co-labor with Christ, to co-labor with the Father. And those who do will bear fruit. And just like Jesus called his disciples, I want you to bear fruit, and I want that fruit to remain. He's talking, folks, about bearing fruit of souls, of the lost. I challenge us as a church to get back to the mission of Christ and not just get into some routine that we do, but to get his heart and get his perspective. And how can I help in the process of winning souls? Not everybody is an eloquent speaker. That doesn't matter. Amen. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a pastor. But everybody is called to be a witness. And we witness by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in ourselves. So if you feel like you can't do it, well, join the club. I can't do what God calls me to do, naturally. At least not very well. And I'm certainly not going to have any lasting fruit if it's me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, just like Paul said. And Paul said, because of the grace of God, I've labored more than the others. He said, I didn't receive it in vain, but I labored. I worked with Jesus. I walked with Jesus. I did the stuff. I ministered to him, and he suffered for it. But he knew that something better was coming. He had a crown waiting him in heaven. And to see Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. God doesn't want any one of us here to be ashamed in the day that we see him. But he wants us to be confident in that day. And you know why we'll be confident? John tells us. Because as he was in this world, so are we. We walk like Jesus. And we can only walk like Jesus if we look at his example. And how did Jesus walk? He walked with the Father daily. He prayed. He stayed connected. Amen? He got his assignment from the Father. He heard his Father speak, and he spoke what he heard his Father speak. He saw his Father do something in the Spirit, and he did what his Father did. Do you understand? That's what we're called to. All of us are called to that. You can lay your hands on the sick. You can cast out demons. You can proclaim the gospel to people in your home, in your neighborhood, wherever you live, in Walmart. Amen. Well, I got to get back to church while I meet with God. Amen. There's a book I've got. It's called Jesus Just Left the Building. Are we going with him? Jesus steps out of the boat. Hey, I'm not sitting in the boat. Jesus said to those who got offended at him, he says to his disciples, will you leave me also? And they said, Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We're with you, Jesus. We're not going anywhere. Where else could we go but to you? You're the Lord. You're the Master. You're the Savior. And we can't lose if we're with you. I like that. I'm going to say that again. We can't lose if we're with Jesus. And if God has planted us in him, if we are the planting of the Lord, if we're saved, if we're born again, then we are to bear fruit. And we do that by drawing from his life, by worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. That's why I just love to see Folks, when I look out and I see people, you know, on their knees or their hands raised, and it's authentic, amen? It's not some kind of show, but they have a desperation for the Spirit of God because they know that without Him, we can do nothing. It blesses my heart because I know that person is going to go places because they're learning how to draw from God. They're learning how to drink. They're learning how to worship. Amen? Folks, if we are more concerned about the opinions of men, we will never accomplish the will of God. If we're more concerned about what people think, we'll never accomplish the will of God. And one more thing. There is also the fruit of our lips. Very. Turn to your neighbor and say, very important. Hosea 14:2. Take words with you. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. What does he mean by that? Well, let's look at Hebrews 13:15 in the New Testament. Therefore, by Him, by God, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I bless you. You're an amazing and awesome God. You're my Savior. You're the lover of my soul. You're all that I need. And all that I desire, Lord, is to know you more. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found steady to the end. I want to endure to the end. And you know that phrase, fruit of the lips, is a Hebraism. And it means what the lips produce. Offering to God the fruit of our lips, it means what the lips produce. That is, words. How many know that words must be spoken? Your words are powerful, but they must be spoken words. Praise is audible. Praise is not silent. Praise is audible. And there's a reason why it must be audible. Why? Because we are proclaiming the awesomeness, the greatness of our God. We are speaking of who He is and how wonderful He is and how glorious He is and all that He's done for us. We're giving thanks to God with our lips. And we're making a declaration in the presence even of our enemies. We are in a spiritual battle. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Yes. And one of the greatest weapons we have against the enemy, the devil, is the fruit of our lips to give praise to God. Yes. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Oh, hallelujah. Do you understand, folks? It's not just an opinion. It's the Word of God. This is what God is teaching us, what He's taught us. That praise is important. Praise is necessary in your daily life. And let it be out of your heart, amen, and through your lips, so that you're making declarations in the spirit realm. And there's power of life and death in your tongue. The reason why so many people are defeated is because of the stuff that they say. Complaining, belly aching, speaking unbelief instead of speaking faith and trust and hope and love and joy and these things. You produce what you sow, amen? You reap it. If you love to talk, be very careful because you're going to eat the fruit of what you're saying. Now, I know some of us are quieter than others, but every single one of us in here, if we're a child of God, should be praising Him. If you've been in prison and you've been set free, you're not just going to go. You're going to be like, Yay! I'm free at last! Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last! I've been in prison for years and now I'm set free, and you can't help but praise Him. Amen. Folks, I didn't have to have anybody say, lift up your hands, open your mouth, give praise to God. It's not even real. Amen? You can't fake it. But if we don't have praise and thanksgiving in our hearts, then we need to check ourselves out. What's going on? You know what I'm talking about? People will scream their voice away at a game. When they come to church, they won't open their mouth for God. They won't talk to anybody about the eternal life that Jesus offers them. So I'm saying this because I care. And I tell you, folks, over and over again, I can tell you testimony after testimony in my own life, but also the testimonies of others. People that learn to give audible praise to God find a victory that comes. Yeah. They find deliverance in that. In their own soul can be set free. The chains of the enemy can be broken off by giving praise and thanks to God. Audibly. I've seen people that would sit with their arms folded, mouth shut. Amen. God gets a hold of them one day and they begin to open their mouths and He just melts them right where they're at and they begin to shout to God for the first time and all those chains come off. There's other times, folks, when we have to say, listen, if you want to be free, then call on the Lord. Do you know calling on the Lord means an audible expression even to break, piercing the ear? Calling on the name of the Lord. And that's what I loved about the Korean church when we were there in the beginning of my days in the Lord. That they would shout three times the Lord's name before they would get into a time of praise or prayer. They would just shout Jesus or Jua, right? Lord. Why? Because sometimes you can almost hear it go. It would just shatter the darkness, shatter the indifference, and it would break chains just like that. I know for some of us, folks, this is just a reminder, but we need to be reminded. In all things, give thanks. That's the fruit of your lips. Amen? And give praise to God, because praise releases spiritual power that defeats your enemies. Amen? How many have heard that supposed quote by St. Francis of Assisi? Share the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Folks, I've done some research on that. He never said that. I don't know. I think I know where that came from. Share the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. What is basically saying, and I understand that we have to live this, amen, not just talk it, but we have to live it before the world. Would you say amen to that? The problem with that is that people are just thinking that all I need to do is be nice. Not say anything, not ruffle any feathers, not oppose anything that's politically, correct. But just be nice. And the devil he has no problem with nice people, by the way. Jesus wasn't always nice. Because Jesus loved people too much to be nice to them when they know that being nice to them was going to strengthen their hands to do evil and find them their way in hell someday. But Jesus loved people enough to mess them up and tell them the truth in love. He got people so up, they crucified him because they didn't like what he said. But he was telling the truth. Because he knew that was the only thing that was going to help anybody get set free. Is for them to acknowledge the truth, to receive the truth. Receive the word. Share the gospel. How about this? Preach the gospel at all times. And since it's necessary, use words. Since it's necessary, use words. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, Romans 10:10. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Did you get that? Since it's necessary, we must speak the word of God. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So how can they hear unless someone is sent? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Share the gospel at all times, and since it's necessary, use words. Let's remember that one. Share the gospel at all times, and since it's necessary, use words. God chose the preaching, amen, of the gospel to save the lost. He chose the speaking forth of his word to produce faith in the hearts that will save the hearer. It's not some silent, be nice, smile a lot thing. It's be an example, yes, by your conduct, but be available for God to use, because God wants you to share. You don't have to be a theologian. You can tell people what Jesus did for you. When people are hurting, there's an opportunity to pray for them. If somebody's sick, pray for them. Amen? Comfort the comfortless. Amen? If somebody is sick or injured, you know, pray for them. There's an opportunity. And you can tell them, hey, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you too. You know, oh, you're dealing with depression. Well, let me tell you about how God brought me out of depression. You see, you have a story. You have to use your words to communicate that life of Jesus to others. That's why Jesus said, and I finish with this, I mean it. These words I'm speaking unto you are spirit and their life. You have to speak for God. Amen. And if you open your mouth for him, he'll fill it. Amen. You open your mouth for him, he'll fill. He'll give you what you need to say. Just ask him. Hallelujah. And don't be afraid. Get close to Jesus and there's no fear there. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the message today. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. We want to bear much fruit and glorify you. Now, Father, I pray that you would draw every one of us in this room closer to you. Set our hearts on fire. And Lord, like Isaiah, I want to say, hear my Lord, send me. If you're here today, all you need to say is, Jesus, I'm here for you, Lord. I want to serve you. Here am I. Send me. Yeah. Now listen for his voice as he gives you opportunities every day. Hallelujah.